on mine this morning. So we have the three that are slowly being corralled to where they're supposed to go, slowly. Get down there. No. So I've got Xander, he's my oldest. I've got Caspian, he is the middle child. And then, of course, Gideon being the smallest one trying to navigate the stairs right now. The one that you can't see, as I introduced her last week, is right there. Thus the need. We brought my mom this morning, too, just in case that one acts up and we need to part ways. So trying to cover all the bases this morning. She is due at any point now. As a landlord, I signed an eviction notice on her. She's got to get out by Friday. So actually, it was the doctor that did it. We're going to go. And we're going to hopefully see her by Friday, and definitely not in the middle of this service. If you can, take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 119 and verse 33. Psalm 119 and verse 33. And our text this morning gives us, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness." Now, when we look at these words, this is a tall order. Why? Because the human heart, the sinful heart, is prone to wander about. It really is. We'll sit there, we'll get to watching television, we'll get to staring at our phones, and we will forget or neglect the ways of the Lord. So it brings me to a question that I have this morning. Who taught you how to study the Bible? That's a big question, isn't it? Though you try to trace it back. When did I learn how to dive into Scripture and search it out with more Scripture? Now, oftentimes when you ask somebody, hey, what passage of the Bible are you studying? They'll lift up a book that they bought and they say, hey, we're going through this book. And you know what? Books can be incredibly handy. But every child of God ought to be able to, with just basic dictionary and with some maybe a Strong's Concordance, study the Bible. Because it's all well and good for me to sit there and see exactly what somebody else thinks a passage means. But I need to know what the Lord meant by it. Again, nothing against books. I have so many books. Folks, I've got them. But when it comes down to pure Bible study, what happens when I'm reading through on my daily reading and I come across a point or a question? I ought to be able to search that out. I ought to have the tools available to go after what the Lord meant when He put it there. What does ecumenism tell us? It tells us, well, it could mean something to me, and it could mean something different to you, and it could mean something different to the people down the street. I had somebody tell me one time, they were a Catholic, they'd say, hey, Matt, listen, our Catholic church, we're thinking of starting a Bible study. What do you say about that? And I say, well, it's about time the Catholics study the Bible. That's a great idea. Because honestly, that's what we see, the differences among people who claim to serve the Lord, claim to know the Lord, and those that really do. If you study the Scriptures the way you ought to, you really do know the Lord. However, if you're basing it off of some kind of teacher, some kind of priest, some kind of person sitting off to the side who's given loftier knowledge or inspiration to see the Scriptures different than you, that's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Lord said would happen. He said it's given to what? No private interpretation. Which means when the Lord says something, that's what He means. He meant what? Now, there are times where we'll see in Scripture that there's a lot implied in what He says. But He meant to imply those things. And that's important for us to follow and understand. The very first thing that we need to know, if I'm going to study the Bible to change my life, I need to learn observational Bible study skills. Now, what's the difference between seeing something and observing it? Now, over here, you've got some stairs. I don't know if anybody can see them, but don't look. How many stairs are over here? Now, if I were to ask every single last one of you, where are the stairs? You'd say, right over there, brother. They're right there. It's our church. What are you talking about? But if I were to ask you how many, oh, three or four of us might be able to say, well, there's three, four, five, how many there are. See, there's a difference between seeing them. You can see the stairs, But do you know how many there are? What's the current condition of the carpet? What does the carpet look like? What's its color? Right? How many times have you walked on it? Now, I hope you're never that obsessed over carpet or stairs. But the point that I'm trying to get at is this. When I'm reading through Scripture, am I driving by it like I would on my way to work? Barely paying attention, going down a road I've been down so many different times, and I reach the end and I say, aha, check mark, I've done my Bible study. I've done my Bible reading. Or are we digging? Are we looking? Are we allowing our hearts and minds to be the filter of what we're seeing? Catching everything we possibly can. Now, many of you in this room, you've been saved for quite a while. You've been studying the Bible for quite a while. Can I ask you another question? You ever catch something in a passage of Scripture you've read 100 times? Isn't that remarkable? That's just remarkable to me. You could sit there, you could probably read this book through 50 times. You could even be a preacher and preach the same passage 100 times. But you come across it one more time, and in the context of what you see elsewhere in Scripture, all of a sudden the Lord lights something up and you go, oh, I've never seen that before. And folks, that's what Bible study ought to be. Our first point in this lesson is observe the context. Observe the context. A lot of Bible reading programs, they'll do something funny. They'll say, all right, read 7 verses here, 16 verses over there. And the only problem I have with that is it completely removes Scripture from its context. You need the entire background. You need to see what else is going on in this chapter. And as I read, I need to see what's going on in this city, what's going on in this time frame that we're talking about, so I know what's being said. This morning in my reading, I was in 1 John. I tell you what, 1 John is a great book, warning against false teachers, telling folks to stay strong. Right? That's what it's about. 2 John is just a little bit cryptic, isn't it? Again, hey, listen, if they believe this, do not receive them. Now that perks my interest. It ought to perk yours too. I need the whole context now. I need the entire, well, it was really not a chapter in 2 John, but I need the whole thing to really see what's going on. And if you back up, you'll see it. You'll see in 1 John those allusions that take you to what's going on. These false teachers, they're getting in. And they're out there. And they're ruining churches. See, as we look at the entire context, we see what's really happening in Scripture. Listen, false religion is rife with this. They'll take a verse and they'll play it out however they want. I talked to a young man one time. He was making a weird kind of argument as to how drinking's perfectly okay in Scripture. And I say, listen, you can take the Bible and make it say whatever you want. You really can. As long as you grab a small enough sample size, you can do whatever you want. Where you get stuck is all the Scripture around it. And that's why they want to separate it out. Hey, let's go ahead and we'll skip some verses. Let's miss some verses. All right, we'll look at all these different, I don't even want to say versions of the Bible. You look at the perversions of the Scripture out there. And you'll sit there and you'll say, okay, verse 48, 49, verse 51. And you go, what happened? They're not even trying to hide the fact that they're lying to us in this. We're going to omit some of the verses. We're just going to take that verse, we're going to pull it way out of context, and we're going to make it say what we want it to say. But here's the thing. Scripture can never be made to say something it doesn't mean to. What you're doing is you're just lying about that passage. It doesn't mean what you said it means. When we look at things within their context, we learn. Now, sometimes the Bible will hit you. You'll learn things in different books that go back to different things. You'll be sitting there, you'll be reading about Moses and Aaron. Right? I was in the book of Psalms, and I see a reference to Aaron and how long his beard was. And I said, well, what are you doing here in Psalms? You're supposed to be over there. But that's just what Scripture does. If you read the whole thing, so there's three different ways to look at context in Scripture. There is the context of the whole Bible. There is the context of the whole book. Then there is, of course, the context of the whole chapter. And you have to both zoom in and out as needed to pick up Scripture. Which means this, folks, your Bible reading game should be on point. It should be strong. We should be reading. We should be just getting into Scripture as much as we can. One of my favorite things to have on my phone is a little app on there that'll tell me how much time I've spent on different applications on my phone. For some of us, that's a scary thought, isn't it? Now, some of you may be sitting there going, no, brother, not at all. I still have one of those ready to pick up the phone at the house kind of phones, right? And honestly, that may be the best thing for your brain. I'm just saying, it may be the best thing for you. But nonetheless, you think about that. How much time do I spend on wasteful things? Whether it's with your phone, sitting in front of the television, or just nonsensical things you get about, how much time do we waste? And how much of that time could be better used in the study and of the reading of Scripture? Right? We have to observe text. That would be my point number two. Point number one, observe the text. Point number two, observe the text. What's being said? How is it being said? Who's saying it? What was their role in what's happening here? As we look through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see a different point of view, but the same story, right? And it is important for us to see each and every one of them and how they put it. You'll see the difference between the doctor and the fisherman. You'll see the difference between the tax collector, right? You'll see who they are, how they saw it. But it's important for us to see what's being said and how it's being said. All right, it's important for us to understand this. We'll get this all the time, where somebody will get up and they'll try to correct the King James Bible with the Greek, and they say, hey, listen, there was an error here. And I would strongly caution you in this. It is not that the scripture here, the King James Version, is mistaken. It is what we have done to the English language. Folks, we have mutilated English today. We really have. To the point to where we're taking slang terms, adding them into the dictionary, phrases that used to be commonplace and would make sense 50 years ago, people do not understand today. Why? My personal belief is because it's important that we be stupid as a society. But that aside, we need to be intelligent in our study. Have a dictionary with you. Have the thought and the concern to do it properly. My wife's here. My father-in-law has taught me a lot in life, and I tell him that. I really do. I appreciate the work ethic that he has and what he has taught me about it. One of my favorite things that he would preach to me every time I was helping him with a task is this: if you don't have time to do it right, when will you have time to do it again? And that's the truth for almost every job, isn't it? So many people are looking for the fast way around it, the quick way. I want the macaroni. I want the microwave macaroni and cheese. I want this part to be fixed now. So you know what? I'm going to fix this, but I'm not going to take care of the things around it. When we're in Scripture, you better be careful. You have to be careful. Why? Because it's important for us to take it in a good time. I have some people, they'll sit there, they'll brag about how, well, I could read the whole Bible in 2 days. Well, that's great, but what can you get out of the Bible in that time? Right? Because me, I'm not that intelligent. I have to stop. I have to get a dictionary. I have to look at the Strong's Concordance. I have to study as I go. I guess I'm just not a Rhodes Scholar. I don't believe that most of the people that say they are either. But we have to take that time. Be cautious. Be careful. What does that word mean? What does this mean in that time? What is this culture? Well, what's happening here that's so important? One of the things that we'll talk about, and my brother Gunnels and I were talking last time I was here about head coverings. And I don't want to offend anybody on the idea of head coverings. I think we're of the same mind here, though, because I don't see any this morning. But you look at what that was when Paul was talking about it. You know what that was? It was a time of prostitution. When women would show up without their head covered by a wig, it would advertise who they were and what they were, and that was a distraction. See, you have to look into that stuff. You have to see. And see exactly what's going on, what the admonishment is. And at the same token, you'll also see where men are told to have their hair uncovered, because you know what? Wigs in men, they're kind of obvious, guys. I don't know if anybody here, they're kind of obvious. And it would do the exact same thing. You see, when we look at what is happening, we see the text for what it is. And the Lord meant for you to read the Bible with the text as it is. Our next and final point here is observe with the Holy Spirit. I firmly believe this and will never apologize for this. Lost people cannot understand Scripture the way a saved person can. Not because saved people are smarter. I will prove to you that the Lord doesn't make you any wiser or smarter just because you're saved. Right? You have to work with Him. But in this particular case, it's because we need the Holy Spirit to understand it. Amen. That's what we need. We need the Holy Spirit. And here's the thing, folks. If you're watching 6 hours of rated R content and you sit down to read one chapter of Scripture, you're going to struggle. Well, brother, that's really judgmental about what I watch. You're going to struggle. Take it as it is. If you sit there and your heart and your mind is given over to useless things and you're not close with the Lord, you're going to struggle. What's the first thing you lose as you backslide? Prayer. What's the second thing? Bible study. Now, some folks, they go down that road fast enough, they lose both at the same time. But the moment you start to back off, you back off and you're praying. You're not as honest as you should be. You're not as talkative as you should be. Your prayers become shorter and less frequent. And then what happens? Well, we're not reading the Bible as much. Now, can one cause the other? Absolutely. But whatever has kickstarted your path down backsliding, the less influence the Holy Spirit has on your heart and mind, the less this book is going to make sense. Again, I preach and I teach separation from useless, ungodly entertainment. I really do. And I'm never going to stop. And for all the bad about it, this right here, I think, is one of the worst things that it does. And folks are unaware of it. They do not know how it pulls you from the Lord. Oh, it's just a little bit of fun. It's just a little bit of relaxation. How can a child of God truly relax outside with something that takes them outside of the Word of God? We just shouldn't. Got up this morning. A lot going on in my little world, right? We're waiting for a baby to go on. We've got some things happening at work. We've got just a lot happening. We got to get up here. We got to make the drive. So you know what we do? We stop and we do what? Watch 60 minutes of some television show? No. When a child of God is ready to go to battle, what do? They pull open the Scriptures and say, all right, Lord, talk to me. What is it that you have? If I live my life 6 days a week, a hot mess of doing whatever I want, we prepare, right? I can't just flip a switch and be Joe Christian. I can't put a tie on and all of a sudden my mindset change. It doesn't work that way. I have to maintain, like he said, throughout my days and nights, and when no one's looking, I have to maintain that walk with Christ so that I can properly hear the Holy Spirit. Now, I do not limit the Holy Spirit's power. I can't do that. I'm mortal. He's not. I can't. But what I can do is I can become blind to Him, deaf to Him, and I most certainly can start to just ignore His presence. We do that all the time when we sin. We just outright ignore what it is that God has to say to us. So, folks, we don't want to do that. We want to stay strong in the Lord. Verse 40, how is it that we stay on, how do we stay on guard? How do we stay excited? How do we stay laboring for the Lord? How is it that we get our zeal for Bible study? Well, it's right there in verse 40. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Amen. Why should we long for his precepts? Well, because of the mess I make when I don't. When I give in to gut reactions and check the temperature of the room, what does everybody in society say I should or should not do? No. I long for your precepts because I've lived long enough to know that if I do it by any other way, I'm going to regret it. And it's hard to live a life of regret. It really is. So what do we do instead? Instead, we learn how to look at the Scripture and through observational study, change our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we dismiss from the Sunday school time,